Good morning. Great to see you this morning. Beautiful Lord's Day morning. And of course, happy Mother's Day to all you moms out there. Where would we be without you? Well, we wouldn't be here. So we just appreciate you, and hopefully you can sit back and relax today and let somebody else do all the work. I know, that's a joke. Okay. We do want to honor our moms today, so if you would like, there are flowers in the back, and a little different from what I guess is normally done, but there was a tradition that used to be done. So all ladies may have a flower from the back. It's a carnation, and a white flower shows us that your mom has passed away. A red flower indicates your mom is still living, so help yourself to the flowers in the back, and I guess that's what they had in mind this morning. Just a few other announcements this morning. Choir, we would like to have you practice. That doesn't come out right. There is choir practice right after the morning service this morning. choir, if you would please gather right after our morning service for some practice this morning. And then you can have the rest of the day off for Mother's Day. So, the ladies group, the LIFT group, Ladies in Fellowship Together, is supporting Anchor of Hope Pregnancy Counseling Center in Sheboygan. And there are flyers in the counter in the library. Lobby. Library is downstairs. In the lobby that lists the items that the Anchor of Hope needs. So if you would like to help out with that, please avail yourself of those things. We are in need of a project manager for our remodeling project in the basement. And anybody that would be interested in helping to serve on the remodeling team, we could use your help as well. Basically, we would like to get some different flooring in there and some sort of room dividers for the Sunday school and a couple other things. But so it's not a huge thing. The floor is probably the biggest deal, but if you have a desire to be part of that, just let me know, and we'll get you plugged into that process. Teens, you've got an activity coming up May 21st, so not this Saturday, but next Saturday, going skating at PJ's Party Zone, and no cost for that activity, and you'll also get food, so what could be better? So have a great time, invite some friends, and there's more information for you in the information center. All right, lastly for announcements this morning, just to save the date, let's talk about really warm weather in July, like July 10th, we're having our church picnic, and so kind of stick that in the back of your mind, write it on your calendar, church picnic coming up Sunday, July 10th, sure to be a sunny, warm day with lots of fun. And if it rains, it's not my fault. Okay. All right. Pastor and his wife have traveled down to South Carolina to do the memorial service for his mom this weekend. So Milo will be bringing us the message this morning. And this morning we'll be praying for the family of week, the Masons, for those kids that are still at home, Luke, Jonah, Thomas, Catherine, Seth, Simon, and Grace. And they have a couple of praises that they would like to share, as well as some requests. They're very thankful for Noah's graduation from Moody. I don't see him here this morning. He must just be exhausted. That is a tremendous thing. Luke and Noah both graduated and were awarded for their academic achievements at Lakeshore Technical College. Thomas was graduated from high school. Goodness sakes. Wow. And 25 years of wedded bliss. It's an absolute joy, John said. So, okay. Well, congratulations on that. Some requests. So, of course, they've got a wedding coming up. Jonah and Cora are planning to get married on June 25th, and we'll be praying also that they can find a house. Also praying for John's parents for salvation and safe travel home from Texas. For Luke and Jonah, as they finish up their associate's degree at LTC and then determine where to finish up their bachelor's degree, direction for Thomas after high school, for their continuing homeschooling, and just that they would continue to be examples of Christ to everyone that they encounter and work with. So great request there from the Mason family. We'll pray for them. Our overseas servants, Eric and Galina Abunadayev, and they're just asked for continuing guidance and direction in their ministry, for the Lord to bless them in the trips that they would take, and then just grant wisdom to Eric as he teaches and preaches, and just for the development of a preaching ministry for the Iranian people, for their physical health, and for his son David, as he has some doubts about his faith. So pray for them. And then our persecuted saint of the week, or saints, are the North Korean Christians. In North Korea, there has been a massive sweep against underground Christians in North Korea. Security guards broke into a place where several dozen Christians were gathered for a secret worship meeting. The guards arrested all of them and then executed every secret believer in the room. The information that we have suggests that the time and place of the worship meeting was leaked to authorities, so it was only a matter of time before they were caught. As often is the case in North Korea, the families of the North Korean believers will suffer as well. Our contact says that their families, exceeding 100 people, were also arrested and have been sent to political prison, where the inhumane conditions have been reported to be worse than those of a concentration camp from World War II. Inmates are treated like animals, tortured, and forced to do harsh labor with little food. In North Korea, it's illegal to worship Jesus or have a Bible. As a result, coming together to worship Jesus is a death warrant. And yet, as this report indicates, secret Christians are risking their lives to be part of a church or own a Bible. They're facing death to worship Jesus, knowing that their only hope is in Him. So we'll pray for the families in North Korea, that God would protect them from outside attacks and bless them, their homes and their villages as well. And when persecution comes, that they would keep their eyes fixed on Him and on the day that they will meet Him face to face. So let's go to prayer this morning. Father, we bow before Your holy throne. We thank You that You are the God of creation, that You are almighty and all-powerful, all-knowing and all-wise, and Father, that You are eternal, no beginning, no end. Father, and Your love and Your characteristics are also eternal. You love us with an everlasting love. Father, You love those Christians in North Korea, Lord, that have taken a stand for You, where it's even illegal to meet or to own a Bible. Oh, Father, our hearts go out for our brothers and sisters in North Korea. We pray for them as they have been carried away, the families of those who've already lost someone in their family, and now they themselves are in a prison camp and treated horribly. Father, we pray that You would be their portion and somehow supply their needs, Lord. Father, may they fix their eyes wholly on You, and Father, one day soon, just look forward to meeting You in person. Father, we pray that the testimony of these individuals would go out, and Lord, that the hearts and minds of those that are persecuting them would just be changed because they see just the love that these North Koreans have for You, Lord, and they're willing to risk everything. Father, may it be also in our hearts that we would stand for You, that we would, as Your word says, not be ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of salvation. We thank You for this tremendous example of these believers, Lord, that are willing to stand for You. We pray that You would encourage their hearts and be their portion today. Lord, we do pray for our overseas servants, for Eric and Galina, Lord. We just pray, Father, that You continue to guide and direct their ministry. Father, that You would give Eric the wisdom as he preaches and teaches, Lord. Father, as they raise up godly young men to be pastors in that land, Lord. Father, may your Holy Spirit do the work in their hearts, Lord. May they be diligent studiers of your word, that they may learn and grow and, Father, be fruitful in their ministry. We pray, Father, too, that you would just protect their physical health, many different things and ailments they have already gone through, Lord, but we just pray that you would continue to give them good health and that they would just be not hindered in their ministry, Lord, by some health issues. And Lord, we do pray for their son, David, Lord. We just pray that you would open his spiritual eyes of understanding, Lord. And Father, if he does not know you, Lord, that he would make a full profession of faith in you. But Father, if he's just having some doubts, Lord, and not exactly sure, we just pray that the Holy Spirit would speak to his heart, Lord, that he would understand the hope that we have in the Lord Jesus. So we do pray for them. And Father, for our family of the week, Lord, we are just so grateful and blessed to have the Mason family a part of our fellowship. We thank you so much for the ministries that they are involved with, Lord, here at church. And Lord, we just rejoice with them for all of the good things that have taken place, Lord, in just the last couple of months and over the years as well. We thank you for their marriage of 25 years, Lord, and for the many blessings you've given them and children, Lord. And Father, we just rejoice with Luke and Jonah as they receive those awards. Pray for Thomas and his future direction, Lord, after high school. And Lord, we pray as well for Jonah and Korah as they make wedding plans, Lord. That can be a very difficult and stressful time to get all of those details tied together. But Father, may they never lose focus of the union that you will make on that day, Father. Join a man and a woman together to be as one. So we pray for their wedding plans coming up. And also pray, Father, that you would lead them and guide them. And at the right time, that there would be a house available that would be a perfect fit for them. Lord, we pray for salvation for John's parents, Lord, that you would open up their eyes and that they would see the love of Christ each time they come and visit John and Amy and the kids, Lord, and see how dependent they are upon God and how they've walked through faith through many different trials. Father, we pray that your Holy Spirit would move in their hearts, Lord, even this week, and Father, that they would come to a knowledge of you and acknowledge you as Lord and Savior. Pray, Father, as Amy and John continue their efforts in homeschooling, and Father, that you just continue to bless the children, and may they walk in obedience with you, Lord. And Father, as they've prayed, and is a prayer for all of us, that we would just be examples of Christ to everyone we encounter. Lord, we thank you again for today. We thank you for our moms everywhere, Lord. And we thank you that you have given us this church where we can come together and worship you. And we pray that the songs that we would sing this morning, the scripture that we would read, and the message that we will hear will all be honoring and glorifying to you. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
We are going to start with a reading this morning. Do you have that, Jason? Okay. And watch for your part, because we've got everyone. We've got grandmothers, young women and girls. Now, that's kind of iffy. If you want to include yourself as a young woman or something, that's your choice. You pick. I'm not going to say it. And then everyone, and then everyone again. I'll have a part of reading, you find your part at the appropriate time. So let's stand. I reach out my hands to your commandments, which I love, and I meditate on your decrees. May your unfailing love come to me, O Lord, your salvation according to your promise. Young women and girls, I will walk about in freedom, for I have sought out your precepts. I will speak of your statutes before kings and will not be put to shame. In the night I remember your name, O Lord, and I will keep your law. Now the next song, I'm going to have the ladies sing for obvious reason. The name of the song is I Am a Woman. Now, I'm not going to get into any of this crazy stuff that's going on in the world today. But I think it's only appropriate that the ladies, all the young, every female here this morning would sing I Am a Woman. And the men will just listen and enjoy the beautiful voices that he has given the ladies. Thank you, ladies. All glory be to Christ. That's our next song.
Living water satisfy the thirsty wind. All glory be to Christ. All glory be to Christ our King. All glory be to Christ. His rule and reign will ever sing. All glory be to Christ. When on the day the great I am, the faithful and the true, the Lamb who was for sinners slain is making all things new. Behold, our God shall live with us and be our steadfast light, and we shall hear his people be. All glory be to Christ. All glory be to Christ our King. All glory be to Christ. His rule and reign will ever sing. All glory be to Christ. All glory be to Christ our King. All glory be to Christ. His rule and reign will ever sing. All glory be to Christ.
Find us faithful. This is a great song. Hopefully, you see the words there. When people pass away, what they find left, what was important to them. And you wonder sometimes what was important in our lives. Let's sing Find Us Faithful. First verse, second verse, and then the chorus. And oh, we'll follow Jill.
Pilgrims on the journey of the narrow road, and those who've gone before us find the way, cheering on the faithful, encouraging the weary, their lives a stirring lesson tended to the guardian's voice. Surrounded by the greater cloud of witnesses, let us join the rumble the prize. But as those who've gone before us, let us fill the those behind us, the heritage of faithfulness passed on through godly Christ. Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful. May the fire of our devotion light their way. May the footprints that we leave lead them to believe, and the lives we live inspire them to obey. Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful. After all our hopes and dreams and gone come and gone, and our children sift through all we've left behind, be the clues that they discover and the memories they encounter become the life that leads them to the road we each must find. Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful. May the fire of our devotion light their way. May the footprints that we leave lead them to believe. The lives we live inspire them to obey. Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful. Find us faithful. May the fire of our devotion light their way. May the footprints that we leave, leave them to believe, and the lives we live inspire them to obey. Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful. Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful.
Thank you. You may be seated. That may have been new to some of you. It's an old one, but it's a good song. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we are not here by chance or by accident. We are here by your sovereign will and design. And we thank you, O God, that we can gather in Jesus' name and worship you and be in this house to glorify you through everything we say and do. When we hear of those saints in North Korea who've been killed, we have no concept of that. But we pray, oh God, that you will meet the needs of those who left behind. And Father, may we always thank you for the freedoms that we enjoy in this country. Oh God, without you we can do nothing. We are dependent totally and wholly upon you. And every good and perfect gift comes down from you. And these gifts we give back to you because you are God and everything we have belongs to you. Bless these gifts and the giver now in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you would please stand with me. Turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 47. We'll be starting in verse 1 through the end of the chapter. So Joseph went in and told Pharaoh, "My father, my brothers, and their flocks and herds and all they possess have come from the land of Canaan. They are now in the land of Goshen." And from among his brothers he took 5 men and presented them to Pharaoh. Pharaoh said to his brothers, "What is your occupation?" And they said to Pharaoh, "Your servants are shepherds, as our fathers were." They said to Pharaoh, "We have to come to sojourn in the land, For there is no pasture for our servants' flocks, for the famine is severe in the land of Canaan. And now please let your servants dwell in the land of Goshen. Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, Your father and your brothers have come to you. The land of Egypt is before you. Settle your father and your brothers in the best of the land. Let them settle in the land of Goshen. And if you know any able men among them, put them in charge of my livestock. Then Joseph brought in Jacob his father and stood him before Pharaoh. And Jacob blessed Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said to Jacob, How many are the days of your years of your life? And Jacob said to Pharaoh, The days of the years of my sojourning are 130 years. Few and evil have been the days of the years of my life, and they have not attained to the days of the years of the life of my fathers in the days of their sojourning. And Jacob blessed Pharaoh and went out from the presence of Pharaoh. Then Joseph settled his father and his brothers and gave them a possession in the land of Egypt, in the best of the land, in the land of Ramses, as Pharaoh had commanded. And Joseph provided his father, his brothers, and all his father's household with food according to the number of their dependents. Now, there was no food in the land, for the famine was severe, so that the land of Egypt and the land of Canaan languished by reason of the famine. And Joseph gathered up all the money that was found in the land of Egypt and in the land of Canaan in exchange for the grain that they had bought. And Joseph brought the money into Pharaoh's house. And when the money was all spent in the land of Egypt and the land of Canaan, all the Egyptians came to Joseph and said, Give us food. Why should we die before your eyes? For our money is gone. And Joseph answered, Give your livestock, and I will give you food in exchange for your livestock, if your money is gone. So they brought their livestock to Joseph, and Joseph gave them food in exchange for their horses, the flocks, the herds, and the donkeys. He supplied them with food in exchange for their livestock that year. And when that year was ended, they came to him the following year and said to him, We will not hide from my lord that our money is all spent. The herds of livestock are my lord's. There is nothing left in the sight of my lord but our bodies and our land. Why should we die before your eyes, both we and our land? Buy us and our land for food, and we will, with our land, will be servants to Pharaoh. And give us seed, that we may live and not die, and that the land may not be desolate. So Joseph brought all the land of Egypt for Pharaoh, for all the Egyptians sold their fields, because the famine was severe on them. The land became Pharaoh's. As for the people, he made servants of them, from one end of Egypt to the other. Only the land of the priests he did not buy, for the priests had fixed allowances from the Pharaoh, and lived on the allowance that Pharaoh gave them, and therefore they did not sell their land. Then Joseph said to the people, Behold, I have this day bought you and your land for Pharaoh. Now here is seed for you, and you shall sow the land. And at the harvest you shall give fifth to Pharaoh, and four-fifths shall be your own, as seed for the field, as food for yourselves and your households, and as food for your little ones. And they said, You have saved our lives. May it please my Lord, we will be servants to Pharaoh. So Joseph made it a statute concerning the land of Egypt, and it stands to this day that Pharaoh should have the fifth. The land of the priests alone did not become Pharaoh's. Thus Israel settled in the land of Egypt, in the land of Goshen, and they gained possessions in it, and were fruitful and multiplied greatly. And Jacob lived in the land of Egypt 17 years, to the days of Jacob, the years of his life were 147 years. And when the time drew near that Israel must die, he called his son Joseph and said to him, If now I have found favor in your sight, put your hand under my thigh, and promise to deal kindly and truly with me. Do not bury me in Egypt, but let me lie with my fathers. Carry me out of Egypt, and bury me in their burying place. He answered, I will do as you have said. And he said, Swear to me. And he swore to him. Then Israel bowed himself upon the head of his bed.
Have faith in God. He's on the throne.
Have faith in God when your pathway is lonely. He sees and knows all the way you have trod. Never alone are the least of his children. Have faith in God, have faith in God. Have faith in God, he's on the throne. Have faith in God, he watches o'er his own. He cannot fail, he must prevail. Have faith in God, have faith in God. Have faith in God. When your prayers are unanswered, your earnest plea he will never forget. Wait on the Lord, trust his word and be patient. Have faith in God, he'll answer yet. Have faith in God, he's on his throne. Have faith in God. He watches o'er his own. He cannot fail. He must prevail. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. In your pain and your sorrow, his heart is touched with your grief and despair. Cast all your care and your burdens upon him, and leave them there, oh, leave them there. Have faith in God, he's on his throne. Have faith in God, he watches o'er his own. He cannot fail, he must prevail. Have faith in God, have faith in God. Have faith in God, though all else fail about you. Have faith in God, he provides for his own. He cannot fail, though all kingdoms shall perish. He rules, he reigns upon his throne. Have faith in God, he's on his throne. Have faith in God, he watches o'er his own. He cannot fail, he must prevail. Have faith in God, have faith in God.
Thank you. You may be seated.
Good morning. Happy Mother's Day. That's cool. But you know, in the body of Christ, every day should be Mother's Day, right? Hopefully. My mother was a gourmet cook. And she was. She could take a peanut butter sandwich and make it taste like a ribeye sandwich. You know, she just had a way of doing things. I don't understand it, but she just was an amazing woman. She didn't know Jesus until she came to live with us, and she passed away in our home, and she came to know the Lord before she passed away, so I'm going to be seeing her again. But she was a gourmet cook when it came to wild game. I grew up fishing and hunting. Like many of you know, my dad was a dog trainer. We had plenty of dogs at home, 30, 40 dogs. And each dog had an owner. It wasn't us. But many of the people there were doctors that kept their dogs with us. And many times they would go on these trips to Saskatchewan and Montana, and they'd bring back all this wild game, and they would always share it with my mom because they wanted my mother to make a meal for them. So about once a month, they would meet at a doctor's home, and my mother would cook for them. And I can still remember in the kitchen early in the morning, my mom would be up early, and she would be opening the stove up, and the whole stove would be lined with mallard ducks. And just, you know, the aroma was just unbelievable. And she seems like she did everything perfect. And one thing I noticed was after she got done serving everyone, she wasn't out there. My dad did the serving, but my dad would come back with all these different letters to my mom from these doctors, and with an appreciation for all that she does. And the more that my mom was praised for doing the cooking for them, the more my mother worked harder. That's one thing I noticed, because every single time she would cook, something was just a little bit better, a little bit better. So I noticed that, you know what? She goes, we react to affirmation. We do. And I remember Dr. James Dobson from Focus on the Family. He told the story once of a gentleman came into his office, and he said, I'm going to divorce my wife. He goes, how come? He says, she's the worst woman in the world. And he goes, oh, she can't be. Oh, he said, she is bad. Well, he said, sit down and tell me about her. So they both sat down, and he got out a pencil and paper, and he started writing, and he started telling Dr. Dobson all the things that he didn't like about his wife. And he filled up the whole page with stuff. And Dr. Dobson said that he turned the next page in a notebook, and the guy just kept going, and he just putting things down. He turned the next page, and he filled that one halfway up. 2.5 pages of what this guy doesn't like about his wife. And he says he looked at everything, and he said, boy, she is really bad. He says, I've been telling you. He said, it's unbelievable. He goes, well, was she like that when you first got married? He says, no, she was a wonderful girl. She did everything for me. We went together. We did everything together. And he says, well, how did you make her like this? Everything went quiet. This morning, we're going to be looking at what it takes to have an excellent wife. Excellent mother as well, just so you know that this goes both ways, okay? It's not just for young, it's for old as well. And you need to remember that men play a big part of what happens and how your wife turns out and what kind of mother she's going to be. Plays a big part in it. If you haven't done so already, would you turn in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 31? Proverbs chapter 31, everybody has heard this already. You probably know the verses better than I do. That's me. I thought somebody fell out of the pew. If I happen to disappear from up here, my lens keeps falling out, so I'll be looking for it. So, just in case. Okay? Proverbs 31, starting in verse 10. An excellent wife who can find? For her worth is far above jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. She looks for wool and flax and works with her hands in delight. She is like merchant ships. She brings her food from afar. While it is still night, and gives food to her household and portions to her maidens. She considers a field and buys it. From her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She girds herself with strength and makes her arms strong. She senses that her gain is good. Her lamp does not go out at night. She stretches out her hands to the distaff, and her hands grasp the spindle. She extends her hands to the poor, and she stretches out her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She makes covering for herself. Her clothing is fine linen purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders in the land. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies belts to the tradesmen. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she smiles at the future. She opens her mouth in wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and bless her, her husband also, and he praises her, saying, "Many daughters have done nobly, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the product of your hands, and let her works praise her in the gates." Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, Lord, we are grateful and thank you for your inerrant word. And Father, this description of an excellent wife, Lord, it's beyond what we can imagine. But Father, we also know that what you command us to be, you give the strength to do it. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to all keep that in mind, that we need to walk close to you each day. Father, as we go through your word here in these verses, I would ask, Father, that you would just take my humble words that, Lord, that you have given to me, and that you would illuminate these words to the hearts and to the lives of the people that in hearing of this message. May you be honored and glorified, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. If you didn't get a sermon outline, there's one in back. But we're going to be, I've labeled this the excellent wife. Okay, duh. The theme is, I thought this was kind of clever. Praise creates excellence, and excellence creates praise. Here's a question for you. What are the two ingredients that produce an excellent wife? The answer is at the bottom. The fear of the Lord and the praise of her husband. The fear of the Lord and the praise of her husband. We're going to be looking at verses 10 through 12. It's the value of an excellent wife. Then we'll look at the cause of an excellent wife, 13 through 27. We'll be looking at her attitudes, her activities, and her attributes. And then we'll be looking at the praise of an excellent wife. The book of Proverbs, as does all the scripture, tells us that there are great benefits to the one who fears the Lord. In fact, let's look at just a few of them. There is knowledge. Proverbs 1:7 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction." Proverbs 2:22-5. "Then you will discern the fear of the Lord and discover the knowledge of God." The benefits of fearing God is security. Proverbs 14:26. "In the fear of the Lord there is strong confidence, and his children will have refuge." It's a fountain of life. Proverbs 14:27. "The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, that one may avoid the snares of death." Proverbs 22:4, "The reward of humility and the fear of the Lord are riches, honor, and life." The word of God, folks. Benefits of fearing God is great contentment. Proverbs 15:16, "Better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and turmoil with it." Proverbs 19:23, The fear of the Lord leads to life, so that one may sleep satisfied, untouched by evil. The fear of the Lord, when it comes to hatred and its avoidance of evil, Proverbs 8:13. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, provide pride, arrogance, and the evil way, and the perverted mouth I hate. And benefits from the fear of the Lord is the praise of women. Proverbs 31:30. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. So the next question is, what is the definition of the fear of the Lord? Is it cowering in a corner and being fearful? Well, I have just a few different definitions. The fear of the Lord, here's one. Holy affection worked in the soul by God, whereby it is inclined and enabled to obey all God's commands, even the most difficult, and to hate and avoid evil. Here's another one. To pay him humble, childlike reverence, walk in his laws, have respect for his will, tremble to offend him, hasten to serve him, fear him, and nothing else. So it sounds to me, and I have a whole mess of different definitions, but they all talk about revering God, the reverence of God. So it sounds to me like the fear of the Lord is a good thing. It's a good thing. In fact, it says in Psalms 147:7, the Lord favors those who fear him, those who wait for his loving kindness. Jesus delighted in the fear of the Lord. Isaiah 11:1-3. Then a shoot will spring up of Jesse, and a branch from his roots will bear fruit. The spirit of the Lord will rest on him. We're talking about Jesus now. The spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and strength, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And he, meaning Jesus, will delight in the fear of the Lord, and he will not judge what he sees, nor make a decision by his ears what his ears hear. God actually put the fear of the Lord, folks, in our heart. Jeremiah 32:40. I will make an everlasting covenant with them that I will not turn away from them to do them good, and I will put the fear of me in their hearts so that they will not turn away from me. And then lastly, the fear of the Lord is actually coupled with glorifying God. Look in Revelation 14:7. And he said with a loud voice, fear God and give him glory. The two go together. Because the hour of his judgment has come, worship him who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and the springs of waters. Revelation 15:4 is the last one. Who will not fear, O Lord, and glorify your name? For you alone are holy. For all the nations will come and worship before you, for your righteous acts have been revealed. So, fearing the Lord is a good thing, and the Bible talks about, at the end of Proverbs 31, for the woman who fears the Lord, the woman who fears the Lord will excel in what God asked them to do. So let's go through these verses. My time is running short, and I am long-winded, and I know that you know that. So if I'm going too far, somebody stand up and shout in the back, okay? First of all, let's look at verse 10. An excellent wife who can find, for her worth is far above jewels. The value of an excellent wife. An excellent wife is worth the find. She is described as, listen, capable, efficient, and strength of character. Capable, efficient, and a strength of character. You see the word excellent? That same word is used when it was talking about looking for leadership in Israel. When they looked for men in Israel, they looked for men that were capable, efficient, and strength of character. Same word. So an excellent wife is one who is capable of running the family when the head is gone. Okay, we have been given roles in the body of Christ, and the man is the head of the home. But when the man is out, the wife is now in charge of the things that are happening, and she's going to have to trust the Lord for every move she makes and to be held accountable to her husband when she comes home. And an excellent wife will do that. That's not going to be a burden to her. If it starts becoming a burden, then there might be something wrong spiritually that's going on. In fact, Proverbs 12:4 says that she's a crown for her husband. She's a crown for her husband. You see, so the value of an excellent woman, first of all, is she's capable, efficient, and she's got strength of character. Same qualities even when we look for an elder in churches. You go to Timothy and Titus, and we look for the strength of character there and those who are above reproach. Look at verse 11. Verse 11 says, the heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack. The value of an excellent wife is she can be trusted. It's like money in the bank. It's contentment. And I know that many of you men know that. When you have a wife that you can trust, it's like you're at ease and you're at rest. She can be trusted is because that she is trusting the Lord. She can be trusted with the home, his wealth, his reputation, their children, and with their home domestic life. One thing that he can trust her in is, listen up, she never tears down her husband. When she's among women and she's among and talking, or even in Bible studies, many times we get to a point where we start ripping on the other partner. And that cannot be in the body of Christ. The wife is a pillar to her husband, whether she's before him or she's away from him. He can trust her then. That's the way it is. She multiplies the family's resources rather than consumes him. He can trust with the finances. Now, I remember my mom. We had a special drawer in the kitchen full of tinfoil. Some of you folks remember that? We had a drawer there. My mom would reuse rental wraps tinfoil because she said it was way too expensive to buy. So we had a whole drawer full of it. And I remember pulling it out and the stuff would just fly out. And I would say, Mom, why don't you get rid of it? Oh, we can't get rid of that. So she kept reusing it and reusing it because she tried to save money. She knew that my dad only made so much money. Another thing is we would get cream in these little milk containers. And when that cream was gone, the outside of the container was covered with wax. Do you remember that years ago? They had those small wax. They were perfect for freezing fish. My mom would, once the cream was gone, she'd open up the top and we would fillet all of our perch. We'd go out here in Lake Michigan, catch these big yellow belly perch and come home and fillet them up. And my mom would just methodically put each one in there, put water, and then she would seal it up. And I can remember at the bottom of the freezer, all these boxes are all, and we would eat perch all year long. It was great. But she tried whatever she could to cut corners. What's happening today in the world right now? I don't know about you, but I think you better start saving canning jars. Because things are happening really quick. When I go over to the Amish, which I do, I have a, a lot of friends. I have a ministry actually over there trying to draw them to Christ. They always ask me, if you can find canning jars, Milo, bring them back for us. And I said, okay, I'll do that. If you're not, my mom was a coupon clipper as well. She clipped coupon, and I remember going to the store, carrying out the bags, and there she would be dishing them out, and I would waiting for my mom. But the money she made, my dad trusted my mom. And she didn't even know Jesus. You see, a godly woman is an excellent woman that can be trusted by her husband. Look at verse 12. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. We'll be going through these quickly just so you know, okay? She's got great value because she does good and not evil. Her focus is not on herself, but on her home, her husband, and her children. Folks, we live in a society today that's a self society. Everything is self. How you look, what you do. Everybody takes selfies. And they'll take just the right one, and then they'll put it on their Facebook. And I know nothing about Facebook. I don't know all that stuff. It's all what I hear. But we are in a society of selfless people. Self. It's, in fact, even the scripture tells us that in 1 Timothy chapter 3 that in the end times, men will be lovers of self, boastful, arrogant. I think we've crossed the line. But a godly woman will not do evil. She will only think of her family and not herself. Well, let's look at the cause of an excellent wife. First of all, let's look at her attitude. Verse 13, she looks for woolen flax and works with her hands in delight. She's got a positive attitude. If you're taking notes, she has a positive attitude for her duties as a housewife. If you watch the news or TV, a housewife is not important today. And we are seeing the outcome of that, what's happening in Milwaukee and Chicago. We have psychologists, and they're doing research to find out why people are killing each other and why teenagers are going wild. Well, I can tell you why they're going wild. They have no values. Nobody has set values, and because mom and dad were not part of the family. And they need to have a heart transplant just like you and I have one. And that only can come through the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the answer to the world's problems today. And I know that you know that. But a woman's attitude, she delights in housework. She delights because she could see what it does to her family. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Thessalonians were looking for the rapture, and false teachers were saying, it happened already. But Paul said, make it your ambition to lead a quiet life and attend to your own business and work with your hands, just as we commanded you, so that you may behave properly toward outsiders and not be in any need. A woman who has a positive attitude and delights in who she is, it's a great satisfaction to know that she is serving the Lord by serving the family. It says woolen flax. She looks for woolen flax and works with her hands in delight. Woolen flax is kind of a single that the clothing that she had, she keeps her children in mind to be dressed properly. I know of ladies that really impress me that make their own clothes. And they teach their children how to make their own clothes. They teach them how to sew. They teach them how to knit and stitch and everything else. My wife, on the other hand, hates sewing. She hates sewing. But does she just throw her hands up in the air and say, well, I ain't going to do it? She didn't. You know what she does? She staples. We have a stapler at home for stapling paper, and she staples. And I came home one time, and she made drapes for in our living room. And I says, "Well, they really look good." She says, "I stapled them." Just as proud as a peacock. I said, "You what?" She goes, "I stapled them." She turned around, and sure enough, she stapled them. Because, you know, she didn't like sewing, and the thing just never works for her. So she uses a staple gun. It didn't stop her because she knew what her job was, and she loved it. She delighted in doing it. My older son was going, when he was going to school, he had to go, I don't know if he was in some project at home, but anyway, he needed black shoes. And we didn't have any black shoes. So Patty goes out in the garage and gets some black spray paint and comes in and spray paints his shoes black. It's the truth. And my son just looked at her and says, "Ma, what are you doing?" And she got him. She goes, "There you are. Perfect." She went. He went to school. Nobody knew. Everything was good. He may have smelled a little bit like paint, but he got through it. And you know what? If that doesn't work for my wife, there's always duct tape. My wife uses duct tape as well. So she's quite a gal. She cuts our hair. For her, it's fun to overcome obstacles in a family. It's a delight. She enjoys doing it. Look at verse 14. 14, it says, "She is like merchant ships and brings her food from afar." Merchant ships reminds me of Fred. Fred was an antique dealer. And Fred said, he told me this, he said, "Every year, Milo, something is different with people. They get interested in one certain thing. So me, I have to look for those things to buy if I want to make money." And he says one day or one year, it was deer heads. Deer heads, because people must have been building cabins up north. Everybody wanted a deer head in their cabin. So Fred would go around looking for deer heads to buy, and then he would resell them. And that's what merchant ships do. They find out what's selling, they go and pick that up, bring it back, and they make money. A woman is skillful and clever. And I put down she's very prudent, if you're taking notes. Domestic ingenuity. Just like a merchant ship, she provides variety for the family. One thing that we could never afford, good furniture. And I know that most of you growing up, it's just the way it is. We can get some now, but then we couldn't. Well, my wife overcame that by continually changing the furniture around in the house. So it always looked different. I would come home from work and I said, "Where did we get that?" And she goes, "That was over there at one time." And she would remind me, and I thought, "Wow, that's really cool." And then when we had Christian fellowship at home, people would come over and they would have my wife go home with them and help them change their house around. And it made them feel good inside, like they're into a different home. Ingenuity, that's what it takes. When it came to food, I know some of my friends, hot dogs on Monday, chicken on Tuesday, everything was the same. Not when they came to our house. At our house, you never knew what you were going to get. There was always a change-up. Every time I was coming home, I couldn't wait to find out what my wife was cooking. Because it was all that sometimes different. It wasn't always good. And there's where I learned to keep my mouth shut. But she worked hard at it. She really did. Look at verse 15. I got to keep watching the time here. "She rises also while it is still night and gives food to her household." Her priorities are set in order. Her priorities are set in order. Instead of sleeping in late, she organizes things in the home for it to run smoothly. God, God created an organized world, if you haven't seen that. And we, in our homes, need to be organized. It makes things run so much smoother. And it really does. To have, this is what John Kitchen said. John Kitchen wrote a commentary on Proverbs. He says, she views her resources not as a license for personal ease, but as a gift demanding personal responsibility. Ooh. Let me read that again. She views her resources not as a license for personal ease, but as a gift demanding personal responsibility. It's like receiving eternal life. Do you remember when you did that? Do you remember when you gave your life to Christ? There's some very personal, serious responsibilities that come along with that. It's not just having a great time and knowing we're going to heaven. We got work to do. Our job is to tell somebody else now. And then when we're done with that, we tell somebody else, and we tell somebody else, and we tell somebody else. We don't stop that. When it comes to priorities set in order, the woman has things in order, just like spiritually, we need to have things in order as well. Look at verse 16. She considers a field and buys it. From her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She's got initiative. She's got an entrepreneurial mentality. You guys understand that, all right? She does not usurp the authority of her husband, but takes initiative to know when something is a good deal. She is very careful when it comes to what she's going to buy, and she does whatever it takes to help her husband to bring finances into the house, but not give up her responsibilities at home. And, you know, I have to think of the Amish when it comes to that. I go there quite often, and they are, you know, selling vegetables, just these little stands. They got vegetables all over. They got bakeries over there. Josh loves going over and getting an Amish donut, don't you, Josh? He looks forward to that. Yep, he does. Yeah. So when we're going to go to Montello, Josh is a happy camper. Okay? They got nurseries over there. We go over there and buy flowers. All different kinds that you want. They make maple syrup. They make furniture. They do whatever it takes. And then on the side of that, they raise 10 to 12 children. And that's the truth. Each one of them has at least 7. If not more. And I hunt over there a lot. And these children are up at 4:30 in the morning doing their chores. I remember going out on a deer stand. I was up at 4:30. I arrived at 5. And I thought, I went, boy, it must be warm. There's fireflies out. And it wasn't fireflies. These kids were out there with headlamps on, feeding the ducks and the chickens and watering the horses and hauling the hay and getting wood in. And I would come in there and they all come around me because I'm an English person, you know. I'm one of those, ooh, stay away, you know. But somehow they kind of accepted me there. I don't know why. But the main thing is the children don't sleep in. They're up 4:30 in the morning. Everybody has a breakfast, and they got their chores to do, and then everybody off to school. That's the way it is. But then after that, when the children go to school, then the ladies go to work and earn money to bring it into the family. The children, when they earn money, listen, the children give it to the dad. Because it's for the family. And when they are off to get married on their own, then they start keeping their own money for their own household. You see? With the woman. Boy, ladies, you got a big job. You really do. But God will never ask you to do anything that you can't do. If you do it in His strength and you do it in the fear of God because you love Him, It's unbelievable how a family can run smoothly. Look at verse 17. She girds herself with strength and makes her arms strong. She takes care of herself. A woman of excellence will take care of themselves. I'm not talking about pumping iron, okay? That's a different issue. But a woman of strong excellence will take care of themselves. Why? First of all, for her husband, but most of all for her family. Because she's got to stay strong. Because she's got so many things going on at one time. I could never do that. She's not afraid of physical labor. I remember coming home from work, and my wife would come at the front door, and she'd... And I said, what? And she goes, do you see the lawn? And I go out there, and the whole lawn would be cut and trimmed. And I'm thinking, oh, I got to cut the lawn. You know, I got to do this and that. And she wanted to make life easy for me. She had some extra time, and she started cutting the lawn. Then she started, one time I came home, and half the house was painted. Now, I'm not saying, ladies, you need to do that. I'm just telling you how blessed I am. I like going smelt fishing. I don't know if you ever went smelt fishing, but if you do, you can't say smelt. You have to say schmelt. That's the Sheboygan way. So anyway, I'd go down smelt fishing, and I'd come home with a 5-gallon bucket of schmelt. But then I had to go to work early in the morning at 5 o'clock. I had to be up and off. I'd come home, and the bucket would be empty. Patty would sit in front of the kitchen, and she'd clean every single one of these schmelt, until I would go the next night again. And we had a freezer full of frozen schmelt. Okay? She takes care of herself, and she is diligent use in the family. Verse 18. She senses that her gain is good. Her lamp does not go out at night. She's attentive to know that what she's doing is a good thing. It makes herself feel good. It brings safety and security and prosperity to the household. And that brings a sense of worth. It brings joy to their heart. A sense of motivation because they're honoring to God. Because they honor to God. People today are looking for joy. And they're looking in all the wrong places. And you know that. I don't think I even have to tell you about things that are going on out there. I think we know that pretty well. I got to keep going here because I'm running out of time. Verses 19 through 22. I'm going to take a chunk. She stretches out her hands to the distaff, and her hands grasp the spindle. She extends her hand to the poor, and she stretches out her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She makes coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Verse 19, if you're taking notes, her activities, she is a hard worker. She's not afraid to get her hands dirty. This woman is tireless, thoughtful, and unselfish. My uncle had a stroke. The whole right side of his body was dead. And Patty and I were laying in bed one night, and she says, what do you think if I took care of Uncle Vic? Of all the things that you do in the house already? She goes, yeah, but he doesn't know Jesus. Why don't I just start doing it? So Patty started going over by my Uncle Vic and got him to a point where he could drive a car. His right arm was completely dead. It never came back. But he could drive his own car, and he did other things. He could exercise. He could dress himself. But Patty would go over there every single day and make him a meal for 20 years. Here we go again. Verse 21, she's confident. She doesn't violate the principle of modesty, wearing things that are appropriate. 22, she's elegant. She dresses appropriately. That's one thing that I can say about, again, my wife, and that's all I can talk about because that's the only woman I ever lived with. But she always dressed to a point where she wouldn't show herself off to somebody else because she knew what that would do to me. She always had my best interest in mind. Always. When I was at work, I heard one of my bosses, and it was a woman. She says, you know, I wanted to buy my daughter a shirt or some clothes for school. And at that time now, she goes, I cannot find a shirt where it does not show your stomach. Every store sold shirts for young girls, but every single one was always something was showing. She goes, I can't believe it. I have to go to Goodwill and buy old clothes. And I told her, I said, well, there's nothing wrong with Goodwill. We lived there for a long time. Now Goodwill is getting pretty expensive. But she's very modest. 1 Peter, we don't have time to look it up, but in 1 Peter chapter 3, look it up for yourself, 3 and 4. The woman focuses on the inside and not the outside. The outside is important, but the inside is a gentle and quiet spirit. And that's what God wants. That's what God wants. Let's look at her attributes very quickly. Verses 23 through 27. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments, sells them, and supplies belts for the tradesmen. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she smiles at the future. She opens her mouth in wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. Verse 27, she looks well to the way of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. So verse 23, she's admirable. She's a helpmate. She allows the husband to minister for the Lord so that he doesn't have to worry about what goes on in the home. I was in charge of the youth at a last church that I went to, and I was constantly away from home. And my wife told me, you go minister to the Lord, and I'll take care of things here. But when it came to financial things, if we were going to buy something big, then Patty knew that she needed to come to me, and we would talk about it, and then I would have the last decision on that purchase. And I was accountable for that to the Lord. And one thing that she never did, she never said, I told you we shouldn't have bought that. She never did that. She was always a pillar to the decision that I made. That's a submissive wife, folks. She's a pillar when the husband has to make a decision, because she knows that decision is going to be held accountable to God someday. When it works that way in a family, life is wonderful for both people, because God designed it that way. Verse 24, she's a capitalist. She brings money into the house. My wife was an Avon woman for a while. Verse 25, she's dignified. She is in total control of her emotions, walks in the spirit with all humility. Verse 26, she's wise, always on guard to make sure that what she does is the right thing. Verse 27 is pretty much a summary verse of all those verses. She's always on guard, gives no opportunity for spiritual attack, never lets the oil in her lamp go out. She'll never do it. She will keep serving the Lord. All the things that she does is not for me. Well, I shouldn't say that, but it's most for serving the Lord, because she knows that she'll be accountable to the Lord. The praise of a woman. Verse 28, it says, her children rise up and bless her, her husband also, and he praises her, saying, many daughters have done nobly, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is in vain, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the product of your hands, and let her works praise her in the gates. John Kitchen says this, "You see, we as husbands are reminded that it is not sufficient to simply estimate your wife's worth, but we must voice it to them." We must voice it to them. Let me ask you a question, men. Let me put you on the spot. I want everybody to raise their hand. No, I don't. When's the last time you praised your wife? Think to yourself. When's the last time that you praised your wife? I'll bet you it has been months. Because it was that with me. Pastor came. Not this pastor, but a different pastor. Said, "Milo, I want to disciple you." He discipled all the elders. We had 22 elders. Disciple them all. And he says, "Milo," I said, "how often do you praise your wife?" "I don't know. We've been together for a long time. She just knows I love her." "No," he goes, "I want to know. In fact, when we meet next week, I want you to write down every praise that you give your wife." And I'm thinking, this is really ridiculous. But I was submissive to him, and I said, okay. So I would go home, and I'd look for things, and then I would say something to Patty, and I'd write it down. And Patty started noticing things, you know. But I never said nothing, and I would write things down. And finally, I remember looking at her, and I'm thinking, I'm running out of things to praise her, you know. And she's folding wash. Simple, folding wash. Now, I can't fold wash. I've tried it already, you know. But when Patty folds wash, you know, every crease is, I don't know how she does it. But anyway, I said, "Boy, Patty, you really do a good job folding wash." She looks at me and she goes, "Where did that come from?" And I said, "What?" She goes, "You just said that because pastor's making you do that." And I said, "Yeah, you're right. But," I said, "at least I'm trying." And she kept folding wash. And all of a sudden she looked up and she says, "I'm glad you're trying. Keep it up." And all of a sudden a game started. I came home and she had some empty pills that she went to Groobies. You remember Groobies Pharmacy? She got empty pills, time capsules, and she wrote a note to me in those pills, and she rolled it up and put it in a pill, and she says, "Be sure to take your pill every day." So every morning I'd get up and I'd open that thing up, and I'd open up and there would be a note saying, "Your favorite meal tonight," or "I'll wash your car," or "I'll do this," or "I'll do that." It was a game. And then I tried out doing her with roses and that, and all of a sudden, it's pretty cool. You can definitely fall in love again, folks. Marriage, you've got to keep working at it. Guys, start praising your wife. Start praising your wife. Because praise creates excellence, and excellence creates praise. And for those of you who are here, that you're a mother now and your children have left and maybe you've lost your husband, and that has happened this year, and we all hurt for those ladies, but you might have children that you just didn't do a good job, or maybe you weren't saved at that time. I don't know. But humble yourself to your children. And tell them that, you know, I did things just wrong sometimes. And I just want to apologize for some of the things that I may have done to maybe have hurt you. Because from what my Bible says, God is opposed to the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time. Let's pray. Father in heaven, We are grateful and thankful for your word. Lord, it truly is a light unto our feet, a guide unto our path. And Father, I thank you for all the mothers that are here today. I thank you for their love for you. I thank you, Lord, for saving them and for giving them children. Lord, for giving them a husband that loves them. And Lord, for those who are just going through some rough times right now, I would just ask, Father, that you would just give your special touch to them on this Mother's Day, that they would sense your presence with them, and that they would know that their God is with them. Thank you, Lord, for this day. We ask your blessings upon for all that we heard today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Ask ye what great things I know. Let's stand and sing together.
Ask ye what great things I know, that delights and sins me so. What the high reward I win, whose the name I glory in, Jesus Christ the crucified, who defeats my fiercest foes, who consoles my saddest woes, who revives my fainting heart, healing all its hidden smart, Jesus Christ the crucified. Who is light in life to me, who the death of death will be, who will place me on his right with the countless host of light, Jesus Christ the crucified. This is that great thing I know, this delights and stirs me so. Faith in him who died to save, him who lieth o'er the grave, Jesus Christ the crucified.
Remember choir members? Oh, was there a fourth verse? I think we sang that. Choir members, immediately we're going to gather up here and just go over a song. The rest of you are dismissed. And praise the Lord. Thank God for mothers. Have a great day. You are dismissed.